Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So today I'm checking the Twitter news. And look, let me start off by saying I'm not a fan of social media platforms banning people. I'm not. I think speech should be free and there should be more of it. And I think, you know, if you say something stupid, more of us should be shouting you down to tell you how stupid you are. But today it turns out that the guy who runs Project Syphilis, this James O'Keefe, has been banned from the Twitters for violating its policies on manipulation and spam. You break the rules, it's a private function, out the door you go. And here to share some thoughts on, well, that and all of the other craziness going on this fine day, I've asked our good friend Sarah Burris to come talk with us. Sarah is a reporter over at Raw Story, does incredible work. Highly suggest checking it out, rawstory.com. Sarah, thanks for taking time for us.
Sorry.
Isn't that what it is?
About that. Through the whole intro, I've just been like, oh my God. That explains so much. It really does.
Oh, did I say that? Did I say that out loud? Like I said, I'm not comfortable with banning, you know, people from Twitter and stuff like that. I wasn't even a big fan of pitching Trump off, even though I'm happy they did, because at least, you know, toned things down. Thoughts?
I'm not surprised that he has like a whole bunch of Sock Puppet accounts that are used for all the commenting and stuff, because that explains why all of my social media stuff is full of all of these really weird people who have like no pictures and no information or attacking me on, you know, every platform.
Yeah, so they got names like XZK 579-1347-68, and you go, oh, Who's ever going to remember to log in with that?
Right? That's going to be somebody's social security number or their phone number or their mom's phone number or both.
Yeah, I was happy to see that, because I know you had a run in with them, a bunch of idiots.
But, literally.
But it is what it is. Also, there's a call now for Tucker Carlson to be banned from Facebook. Again, I'm not a big fan of banning people, but he did say something kind of stupid. He did say, quote, a few years ago, Bree Newsom trespassed at the Capitol in South Carolina and ripped down the flag. No, she took down a Confederate flag, which is not the flag. It's not the American flag. It's a symbol of hate, a symbol of treason. That's what she took down. So at least get that part right there, Tucker.
And she didn't break anything down. She basically walked up to the flagpole and started climbing it.
Which very few people can do.
Right? I feel like we should be celebrating her physical prowess. Right,
we should put her in charge of the President's Council on Physical Fitness.
Yes. So much more interesting than Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
And far more engaging. I think that Tucker, I don't really care about him attacking Bree Newsom. She's amazing and can totally take care of herself and can probably take down Tucker along with other flags.
Dog.
So, but you know, his really weird racist theories that he's spouting, that's where stuff kind of gets a little, that's like, wait a minute, you're gonna start preaching white supremacist ideology on Fox News? Like, are you really that desperate for ratings, Tucker?
Isn't that what they've been doing in the last decade, 20 years?
Well, for the last decade, I feel like he's kind of been using these little weird earworms and catchphrases and stuff that's only really known
little dog whistle
for that community. Yeah. And so like now he's just being like, he's taking the hood off. He's just blatant about the immigration white replacement theory. Like somehow if an immigrant comes into the United States, a white person dies. I don't really understand how it works. It seems like the counter to the ringing a bell and a fairy gets its wings kind of a thing.
Yeah.
It just seems like the opposite of that. Right.
It's crazy.
But I don't understand. Yeah, it's completely insane. Have you ever seen somebody just spontaneously combust because a brown person came in? Like, oh my gosh.
No, but I had hoped, in college, I had hoped a friend who was lighting something would.
There you go.
Yeah,
I think we all have somebody that we know that would be better off if they would spontaneously combust.
No, he was trying to light gas coming out of his backside, and I was hoping he'd explode. That's what happens when you're drunk and at a party, you know, much like Matt Gaetz. So,
and that's how you get on the evening news, right there.
Right there. That's all you got to do is blow that up. But, you know, the weird thing is you know, I look at someone like Tucker and I look at the right-wing mouthpieces right now. We talked about this at the beginning. Right now they're trying to make this pivot to saying now they care about working people. And yet they've been the biggest obstacle for progress in my lifetime. They've been propping corporate America up for decades, you know, basically pandering to corporate America's every whim. Whenever they wanted to steal and rob and cheat and pollute, they were right there. But hey, black people voting, can't have that.
Oh, and we've got, you know, Ted Cruz and Mike Lee and Josh Hawley, who are just infuriated with corporations, to which I say, awesome. Then let's use this as an opportunity to raise the corporate tax rate to 28 and pay for the infrastructure bill.
We got to go way up. We got to go GOP socialist. We got to go back to the good old days of Dwight David Eisenhower, 56% corporate tax rate.
I feel like that would really show those corporations.
That would really punish them. And then we could take that money and repay all the wages that they've stolen over the last 45 years from working people and all the benefits and all the retirement that they've stolen and gutted over the last 45 years and make working people whole. You want to be the party of the working class? Do something that's going to help. Just don't blather off your lips and play Tokyo Rose like our buddy here, Tokyo Teddy Matthews.
Yeah, this is something where the Republicans, this is a new territory for them. So I feel like that's one of the reasons that they really don't quite understand, you know, what's happening here in terms of how you speak to working people, how you reach out to working people, what working people care about, what families actually need. These are really hard things for them to understand because it's never been something that they've had to deal with before. I can tell you everything about the corporate tax rate.
Right. No, but here's the thing. This is what gets me. I was listening to the latest Milli Vanilli to sit in Rush Limbaugh's seat because they're all trying to be Rush. They're all trying to do the lip sync. And they've actually got the Rush clips. They're playing the tracks right there. So I'm listening to the reading going on, and I'm listening to them badmouth, you know, corporate America because, hey, you know, they did this bad thing. They want black people to vote. And in my mind, I'm going, you know, the time I heard Rush Limbaugh speak in person was at a talkers conference. And he said, you know, it's all about the sale. Radio is all about the sale. The most important person in the room, the salesman, because that's how you get paid. That's where the money comes from. So to hear these people literally biting the hand that's been feeding them for decades is hysterical to me.
But really, at this point, they've had so many people leave, so many advertisers leave, that at this point, all they really have left is Mike Lindell and adjustable rate mortgages.
And he's going to be bankrupt soon.
Yeah, so at some point you're going to run out of, it's going to be, you know, the voting system pillow. And they're probably not going to be running any ads on Fox News.
My prison
but,
pillow.
I mean, this is part of the whole campaign that's been going on from anti-Fox people and Media Matters for the last, 15 years? For as long as I have been in politics.
Yep.
And so they don't really have much left to lose because it's not like, you know, the good people at Amazon are going to show some kind of video or commercial on their airwaves. It's not going to happen.
Yeah. No.
Why bother?
And like I said at the beginning, you want to show me that you're on the side of the working people? How about you get those Republicans in the Senate to go, you know what, 73% of people surveyed by Politico and Morning Consult said they're in favor of collective bargaining. How about you?
Yeah.
How about you get that PRO Act passed to give us the ability to collectively bargain? How about you put your words on the line and actually do something instead of whine, complain, and grieve and play the victim? How about we try that for a change? I know it's radical. I know it's never been done. Just might work.
You're on fire today, dude.
I'm ticked off.
Do you drink coffee?
No, I don't drink coffee.
I know.
Yeah, a truck driver that doesn't drink coffee. You figure that out. Let's move down the road. Another favorite story of mine. You got that, did you? Good on you. Evidently, one of the Capitol rioters, a geophysicist, who allegedly was beating up the police as the police were trying to help people who were injured. I guess he tried to escape to Switzerland. He will now wait in jail until his trial. I think that's funny.
I think that's hilarious. I don't know how you calculate the physics equation for thinking that you're going to be able to get away and escape to Switzerland after beating the hell out of a cop, but good on you for trying that. That would be theoretical physics.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you go, and the way they said he tried to do it was really hysterical because it was never going to work.
You know, again, bless your heart. Bless your heart. There are a lot of these people, and there are going to be more of them, and every story is going to be, you know, just as weird or weirder. Yeah, a lot of these people are going to be hauled out of their mother's basements, and just like Trump used to say about liberals. And
But here's the thing that gets me, and it gets crazier and crazier. Look, I get if you're a traitor and you've committed treason and you've done the things that this guy did, I get the idea, I got to get out of Dodge. I get that. Wholly get it. And, you know, maybe if I were that horrible, I would do it too. But I look at someone like this right-wing pastor from my home city of Cleveland, who's come up and said, no, that whole January 6th thing, no, that was the Democrats that did that.
Man, and he's not the only one. There are a bunch of Republicans who are trying to come up with this, the same philosophy, this bizarre theory that, you know, Democrats were the ones behind it. Antifa was the one who started it. And I'm just waiting. I keep waiting for somebody who is not a Trump supporter to be arrested. But every single one of them, over 377 at this point, maybe the physicist is 78, they're all Trump supporters. They're all Republicans. They're all conservatives. So show me the Antifa person.
Yeah,
I'm waiting for it.
See, this is where if I'm one of them, while I'm sitting in jail, and maybe the geophysicist will figure this out while he's sitting in prison waiting his trial, maybe he goes, wait a second, maybe if I pull a flip on them, since I, the half-handed way of trying to get to Switzerland, which they were never going to let you in, maybe I go, no, I was Antifa. I need BLM to come help me out and play that kind of a card just for, you know, giggles, if nothing else, because you're still going to jail.
Yeah, I feel like somebody who's going to look at his social media accounts are probably going to out that as a lie.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's the thing, is all of these people have a paper trail, and the Justice Department has been looking at it.
Yeah, they did. They did broadcast and record their own treason for all historical memory to be right there.
Man, well, how arrogant do you have to be?
It's either stupid or arrogant. So I've asked this question a bunch of times. Which is it? Is it you were completely stupid and didn't realize, oh, they can save this stuff now, and they can turn your phone on now. They can track your every movement now. Or is it arrogance? I don't care, because Donald Trump will pardon all of us. He'll make us whole. He's our guy.
He told us to come here. I'm here because he told me to. Therefore, he's the one you should arrest.
In fact,
right? Like, is that the logical conclusion there?
Yeah, in fact, I would take the stand and say, not only did he tell us to be here, not only tell us to go, he said he was going to lead us.
Yeah, he did. He absolutely did. He said that, you know, he would walk with them all the way to the Capitol. And then, you know, his bone spurs started acting up, and that was all she wrote.
You stole that one, the bone spurs. There you go. Ba-dum-bum. Here's the scary part in all this. The Washington Post had released an analysis of evidently over the course of, I guess it was the 78 minutes that all this went on January 6th, Capitol Police called for backup 17 times and were ignored 17 times.
And it wasn't the whole riot didn't take place over 70 minutes. This was the 78 minutes from the moment that they tried to breach the Capitol to the point when they did breach the Capitol. It took 78 minutes for that to happen. And over the course of all of that, the Post took all of these recordings of police radios and charted not just what the officer was saying and what they were asking for, but where they were, where they then relocated to, and showed videos of what they were facing at the time. And that just blew my mind. I mean, that is like a data nerd's dream right there. If you can finally see, you know, the chief is right here. He's got a massive crowd of people coming at me, and you can hear the fear in his voice when he starts, you know, rattling off numbers 1033 or whatever, and saying, you know, the line has fallen. And that stuff gives you chills because you're like, oh my God, I got freaked out, you know, that one time some dude tried to make some comment about me, not about me wearing a mask, you know, like I can't imagine being a cop and seeing this just massive people with poles coming at you and knowing that there were, you know, over 9,000 of them and 90 of you.
You know, it's interesting you brought up the polls because, you know, I've gone to rallies around the Capitol and they never let you bring anything that isn't a cardboard tube.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to bring sticks or anything.
You can hold the flag or wear the flag around you. But if you bring a pole, they're not going to let you in.
And again, it's amazing to me that was allowed to happen. And it's one of those things that I, you know, cause you saw the people actually stabbing the policemen with these flags. And, you know, immediately my mind goes to, I've been to these things in the past. They never let you come with anything but paper tubes. And how did they get that? And how was that allowed? So for me, this is a policy that came from above, that they were very hands off. And I think they did it, and I hate to sound conspiratorial, but all angles lead to they were okay with this happen. They allowed this to happen. They did nothing to stop it. And Trump's own words encouraged it. So someone needs to be held accountable above just these schmucks who showed up and got all riled into a tizzy and got their panties all wadded up and did really dumb criminal stuff. It's got to go much higher.
It does. And the hearing that happened today was sort of a shortened hearing because they had to go vote. But one of the hearings that happened today was with the inspector general who did the full report about the Capitol Police. And what he talked about is that the board, the Capitol Police board, are the ones who hire and who do regulations for the Capitol Police and, you know, all of their stuff. It is the architect of the Capitol. The Senate Sergeant of Arms and the House Sergeant of Arms. And one of the Republicans on the committee today tried to make it into a political thing where they were like, well, you know, the Democrats are the ones who are in control of the House and the Senate and all of this stuff. And they're the ones that are hiring these people. And Zoe Lofgren like cut in and was like, okay, wait a second. The architect of the Capitol is appointed by the president. So that person was a Trump appointee, and the architect or the Sergeant of Arms in the Senate, it was appointed by Mitch McConnell. So that was a Republican guy. So really your problem is with yourself. This is what we're dealing with.
I mean,
they're really trying to make this stuff up as they go along and thinking that they can get away with it. Like, we don't know the facts, except we do.
Yeah, absolutely. You listen to The Rick Smith Show here with Sarah Burris, reporter over at Raw Story. Make sure you check out her work at rawstory.com. I wanted to get your thoughts. Turn the corner a little bit. Still in Congress, or maybe not for long. Who knows? But evidently, the Matt Gaetz gate is becoming very, very interesting at late night. Colbert evidently had the statement that the Afghan war is so old that it can't even date Matt Gaetz, which I thought was kind of funny, to be honest.
It's funny because it's true.
You know, also you got Jimmy Kimmel going after, you know, his statement of if you want women, you know, if you want something done, hire a woman. That kind of resonates in a whole different fashion too. I agree.
It has a whole different meaning at this point. Like the fact that he is dealing with allegations of prostitution of minors, and then he went to a women's event and said, if you want something done, you hire a woman. It's like, oh no, pull that back in.
No, I see. I think that's perfectly fine in that environment, because I guarantee you there was still a woman in that crowd wearing a Trump grab me by the you know what shirt.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, it's a weird world we live in. When yes, sexually harass me, sexually abuse me, yes.
Right. I wonder how that would really work out for them.
That's pure desperation.
Oh, burn.
Oh, that was wrong, wasn't it? B bit too far. Nah. I apologize. Actually, I meant it. Never mind. I didn't want to spend too much time on Gates, but I don't care about his sexual proclivities. I don't care if he hired escorts. The underage stuff, absolutely. If he had anything to do with an underage person, straight to prison you go. I'm sure you'll get a date there. But all of the other stuff, the drugs and all the other nonsense with consenting adults, not my concern. The FEC claims, all the money that he spent on travel, quote unquote travel. And last night we had Scott Dworkin on the program talking about, you know, looking at, you know, all of these charges for $1,000 here, $1,000 there. Well, it's not for lodging, it's for booze.
Yeah. And that's a problem. That's when you start looking at federal crimes. And this is one of the things that happened with Michael Cohen, is that payoff to Stormy Daniels is a campaign cost.
Yep.
And trying to hide that from the FEC doesn't generally work out that well, because somebody's going to go through that stuff. They're going to figure it out. Yeah. And so I'm curious to see what happens with Mr. Gates.
Yeah, I'm hoping for a lengthy prison sentence. Because he's the kind of snotty that deserves it. Although, to be honest, he is the man from Florida. He is, you know, when you go look, man from Florida, there he is in the dictionary.
The epitome of Florida man. But the entitlement, you know, the like rich boy kind of persona, that's the kind of thing you just want to slap down.
I'm right there with you. Last thing I wanted to get into, it's kind of personal. You know, you're one of my favorite people because you're really a good person. And I really mean that.
Man.
You know, the stories of talking about your grandfather and all the work that you did, I think it was incredible, and helping them pay for his nursing care. I always thought that was an incredible thing, and I always thought you should have never had to do it. And I'm looking at the fact that Joe Biden has included in this Build Back Better plan, the American Jobs Plan, $400 billion investment into senior care and long-term living care for people, much like your grandfather, so that you wouldn't have had to have done that. But I give you credit for doing it. I'm curious your thoughts on Biden's proposal.
I do think it's important. It's not going to be enough. And it's something that this is a system-wide issue. This is where we as a country are not prepared, because you're looking at baby boomers, which is the largest generation so far. And as they age, it's going to be a really heavy lift for the country to be able to handle elder care for that many people. And you know, it's not just folks who are on Social Security, it's people who, you know, when they get Alzheimer's, you're going to need an advanced level of care. And that stuff gets really expensive, as I can attest.
Yeah, even if you can't take care of yourself. Look, you know, I've seen numbers on how much nursing homes cost, anywhere from $4,000 to $8,000 a month.
Yes. Depending on where you are in the country. Yeah. I mean, I was paying so what they did is they charge a flat rate for the room that you have, and then they charge nursing care, and that nursing care goes up on a point system depending on how much you know, care that they need. So when he first came in, he was a little level one, because he really didn't need any help with anything. But as things got worse, you know, he went up to like a level three and a level four. And then you're starting to talk like on a long month, because they charge by the day with 31 days. Those are the months where I'm looking for like a couple $1,000s, because it's getting close to $4,000. Wow. And I mean, and that's in Oklahoma. And that was not the best facility by a stretch. There was a place down the street that we looked at that apparently had incredible food, but it was going to charge, you know, like $3,500 just for the room. And I was like, well, that's not happening. So you know, there are a lot of state facilities, but there aren't enough of them. So if you have Medicare or Medicaid that's paying for some of this stuff, the problem is that there just aren't enough beds.
No.
So
I mean,
if you're lucky.
And this is where the reason I bring this up is, here in my neighborhood, there's a Save Claremont movement going on, because the county commissioners here want to sell off the county nursing home. Again, the privatization schemes of privatizing our nursing homes the stories have been horrible. You know, patient care goes down, workers' wages get slashed, benefits get slashed. All bad, except profit for whoever bought it. And politicians, you get to go, we didn't raise your taxes. But, you know, again, you got to know who's important here. So the reason I brought this up to you, because I know this is something that's important to you. The reality is, I think most of us, and the polling bears this out, 88% of Democrats, 72% of independents, 55% of Republicans support the idea that Joe Biden's put forth. So I think this is one of those things, and I know it's not traditional infrastructure, but it's something we need to do.
But it is kind of infrastructure, because you're talking about what people need to live, what people need to survive in their states. And this is because this is a state facility or a federally paid plan or benefit or whatever, like that's when you start looking at how can we make this more efficient and more affordable. I mean, I would like to see as we move on, there's so many houses that are available. It would be great if you could have people in a group buy a house and then have one or two nurses that are just there to help them. Like, there are alternatives that we can use to nursing home and nursing care. It's just trying to come up with the ideas and the solutions.
Absolutely. And this is where I've said for years, I get flack from the left about this all the time. I don't believe in welfare programs. I don't believe in handouts. I believe in jobs programs. And this would be the perfect place to put people who need jobs, to help seniors, to go to the doctors, get the groceries, you know, clean up, make dinner. Those simple things that can be done, help them in their daily activities. We could give people the dignity of work and pay them a reasonable wage and do away with all of the nonsense that we get from the right talking about lazy people and all of that. We give people jobs. This has always been my view. And I think it's something we can do.
And it's something we could model off of what's happening at the VA right now. Just up the road from my house is a veterans care facility for elderly veterans. You have to be approved to get in there. God knows the waiting list is a mile long. But they have all facilities for exactly that purpose. And we could use what they have learned to create something similar.
There you go. But Sarah, I appreciate the time. And I didn't mean to put you on the spot, but you truly are.
No,
truly are one of my favorite people. And I appreciate you taking time for us.
Thank you. Have a good weekend.
You as well. Our good friend Sarah Burris. Make sure you check out her work over at Raw Story. She does incredible stuff. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.
Saving work in America. One show at a time. The Rick Smith Show.